Deutsche Welle, Africa Link.
It's Friday, the 30th of September. Good morning and welcome to Africa Link with me, Jane Ayeko Kumet, in Bonn, Germany. In today's program, in eastern Congo, people are worried about the presence of South Sudan rebels loyal to Riek Machar.
You listen to people talking. You will listen to them saying, so what will be our city tomorrow with these rebels from South Sudan?
And is Africa ready to meet the challenge to its future posed by autocratic regimes?
Africans do prefer democracy to any other form of government. As many as 8 in 10 Africans consistently say they want to have multi-party elections.
Stay tuned to this edition of Africa Link.
Top story.
The UN mission in the Democratic Republic of Congo, MONUSCO, is facing growing complaints from the local residents in the eastern provinces about the presence there of rebel fighters from South Sudan. The fighters crossed the border into DR Congo following clashes with South Sudanese government troops. MONUSCO has moved the fighters to a location near Goma, capital of Nord Kivu province, and there are fears that they could become a source of instability. From Kinshasa, Patrice Chitera reports.
Merci, je suis Victoire. J'aimerais savoir pourquoi...
That is a local journalist putting a question to the spokesperson of the UN mission to the DR Congo via a weekly video conference line linking the eastern town of Goma to the capital of Kinshasa. The journalist from Goma says local people are worried by the presence in the area of foreign rebel fighters from South Sudan. The fighters fled to the DR Congo with their leader, the ex-vice president of South Sudan, Riek Machar. Machar left since the DR Congo, but his fighters remain. Isaac Ngwenza is a Kinshasa-based journalist who has just returned from Goma.
I mean, as soon as you land in Goma, even from the airport, you listen to people talking. You will listen to them saying, so what will be our city tomorrow with these rebels from South Sudan? Because they are afraid to leave the same problems they are living today with the FDLR and ADF from Uganda. You can see people in the bus telling the same thing. You can see people in bars, in the markets. It's the discussion that is on top in Goma.
The United Nations Mission for the Stabilization of the DR Congo, MONUSCO, has been supplying humanitarian relief to hundreds of soldiers from South Sudan. Many of them appear to be sick, weak, and even on the brink of starvation when they surrendered to the Congolese authorities in the National Park of Garamba near the border between Sudan and the DR Congo earlier this month. But the presence of the newly arrived rebel fighters is still making some local residents uneasy. They are staging sit-ins in front of the UN peacekeepers who have been deployed some 5 kilometers north of Goma, which is where the South Sudanese soldiers are being temporarily housed. MONUSCO spokesperson Prosper Bass called on residents in the area to be patient as the UN is working on diplomatic solution and looking for a transit center for the South Sudanese.
All the South Sudanese soldiers were disarmed by the UN force before being housed at a peacekeeper's base. Their weapons are being held in secure MONUSCO premises pending a solution to the issue. Efforts by the South Sudanese and Congolese authorities are now underway to try and find a solution in which the soldiers would leave the Democratic Republic of Congo.
Local people are worried because they fear foreign fighters will bring armed conflict into their neighborhood. They have had plenty of experience with foreign rebel groups in the past. FDLR from Rwanda, ADF Nalu, and LRA from Uganda, and groups from Burundi have all been active in eastern DR Congo. After being driven out of their home countries, these groups killed hundreds of local residents from host communities in the DR Congo. The failure by the Congolese authority to control them once they arrive on DR Congo territory worries the residents of North Kivu province. Juvenal Munubo, a lawmaker from the Defense and Security Commission of the National Assembly, says the South Sudanese soldiers must be relocated quickly.
This is not the first time foreign rebels are confined in DR Congo. If you remember, in 2005, the Rwandan FDLR were in Kamina with the idea that they would all be repatriated to Rwanda. But if you go there now, you won't find any camp of FDLR.
Tension is mounting in the DR Congo over whether President Joseph Kabila will leave office when his term comes to an end in 2 months' time. This huge constitution issue may well overshadow any concerns about the presence of South Sudanese rebels in North Kivu.
Patrice Chitera.
Get the stories that are shaping the continent here on Africa Link.
In Cameroon, the authorities have been closing down dozens of unlicensed private security firms, causing more than 100,000 security guards to lose their jobs. The authorities suspect the security firms were a haven of criminal activities, but analysts say the resultant shortage in security personnel will actually lead to an even bigger crime wave. The private security sector expanded when the government launched counter-terrorism measures to combat Boko Haram. From Yaounde, Moki Kinseka reports.
Zupumbi Harrison is arranging second-hand furniture in a makeshift shop he opened at Mesasi, a neighborhood in Cameroon's capital Yaounde, 1 week ago. He buys, repairs, and sells old or broken chairs.
What I'm doing like this, I'm nailing door off inside the chair. So after nailing the door off, I will then put the material on it. Then after putting the material, now I can wrap all the chair and the chair will be complete.
The 29-year-old was an apprentice at a carpentry workshop 2 years ago, but abandoned the business and joined a private security company as guard. He went back to his old business when the private security firm was shut down by the government of Cameroon for not having an authorization to operate. Just 3 kilometers away in the Etudi neighborhood is Atia Juliet's roadside kiosk where she sells telephone refill cards. She too lost her job when the security firm she worked for was closed.
If I can feed myself, pay my rent, do other things like I can assist my junior ones, then it is not bad.
60 of Cameroon's close to 100 private security firms that are not registered and were operating outside of state regulations are being forced to shut down. The government's decision to close the firms came after it emerged that criminals had been taking advantage of the proliferation of private security companies. They were either setting up their own security companies or joined existing ones as a cover for their illicit activities. Isander Alain Solomon, Director of Political Affairs at Cameroon's Ministry of Territorial Administration and the official closing the private security companies, says the government wants to reduce crime and bring order into the sector. He says the security of all Cameroonians is their main preoccupation for now.
Je suis convaincu que les personnels en question...
I'm very convinced that trained people who are losing their jobs will find new opportunities with authorized private security companies because the law permits each of them to recruit a maximum of 5,000 guards, yet most of them have barely 1 or 2,000 staff.
Et au plan régional uniquement à 1000.
Many of the guards previously worked for the country's armed forces and recruits in some companies are trained by retired soldiers. There are about 180,000 private security guards in Cameroon, compared to about 15,000 armed policemen.
Moki Kinseka reporting.
Human rights.
In northern Ghana, there has been an upsurge in the number of women being accused of witchcraft by their neighbors. These accusations are far from harmless and can sometimes lead to the unfortunate women being lynched. Some of the women flee to witches' camps where they are effectively kept prisoner. Maxwell Souk looks at what is being done to counter these serious violations of human rights.
People are wailing and crying as others run for cover as gunshots are heard in Poloyafon, a neighborhood in Tamale, northern Ghana. The shooting started after a family refused to bring their mother for confession after she was accused of witchcraft. For the past 3 months, a number of people accused of witchcraft have been forcefully taken to the chief's residence or even physically harmed. This resident is troubled by the phenomenon.
Every now and then we hear about it. They accuse people of witchcraft, beat them, and even threaten to lynch them. It's a sad thing.
This increase in attacks has led high-ranking chiefs to formulate a guiding document to protect persons accused of witchcraft in northern Ghana. Humphrey Kuperi works with the Northern Regional House of Chiefs.
When you suspect somebody of witchcraft, there is a traditionally accepted procedure. So you take the person through that, but you move away from that and you lynch the person. You have committed a crime.
But residents are still skeptical about this move. I am meeting the accused woman whose children resisted the people who threatened the woman with violence because of alleged witchcraft. They are still all present protecting her. 60-year-old Hajia Barchisu says she is very innocent.
How can someone like me be sitting in her house and you come to tell me I have spiritual powers? I don't know anything. I only recite my Quran every day. But what they came to do to me, it's only God who will judge us all.
These forms of cultural practices are listed as harmful under the 2015 Kigali Declaration. At a recent conference in Tamale to solicit the support of local chiefs in eliminating dangerous cultural beliefs in Ghana, Michelle Hasunguli, a professor of law at the Faculty of Law, University of Pretoria in South Africa, said such beliefs must be thrown away.
Under the modern state, we have now introduced law to formalize the process of modifying our cultures and traditions by identifying those negative aspects of our traditions, cultures, and civilizations. The positive ones we keep, the negative ones we throw away in order to identify with modern times.
An anti-witchcraft coalition has also been formed to facilitate a possible disbandment of witch camps, as well as to ensure the successful reintegration of alleged witches back into their various communities. Adam Barney is a lead member of this coalition.
It becomes unconstitutional if, for the sake of witchcraft, you accuse somebody, then you take the law into your hands and then you banish the person, you destroy the person's personal properties, you injure the persons, or try even to kill the person.
In 2014, the government of Ghana, through the Ministry of Gender, Children and Social Protection, and its partners started a move to close down all witch camps in Ghana. But since then, only one out of six camps has been officially closed down. This is because the reintegration committee is finding a lot of challenges to convince citizens to accept the women back into their communities.
Maxwell Souk reporting from northern Ghana. But that put aside, how should democracies and advocates of good governance meet the challenge posed by authoritarian or autocratic regimes, many of which remain stubbornly in power, circumventing the wishes of the people? Here in Bonn, the German Development Institute has been looking for answers. Wanjiku Mwaura reports.
Autocratic regimes or dictatorships have been a dominant form of governance, especially in Africa. Many experts are concerned that such regimes hamper development. However, Dr. Julia Leiniger, an expert on African politics at the German Development Institute, says there is evidence of democracy even at the grassroots level.
There are a lot of places in rural areas, for instance, where you find democratic practices in the sense that people discuss a lot in order to get to conclusions and joint decisions. I think this is one first indicator. Second, there is a lot of what we call a vertical accountability. So we do have fair and free elections. But yes, there are also challenges.
One challenge is the growing number of presidents who are pushing for constitutional changes to allow them to run for additional terms in power. This has been the case in countries like Congo, Burundi, Rwanda, and Burkina Faso. The leaders have said that citizens want them to continue to rule. Professor Emmanuel Gimia Boadi, the executive director at the Ghana Center for Democratic Development, says that this is not true according to the findings presented by Afrobarometer, a Pan-African research network that conducts public surveys on democracy, governance, and economic conditions.
Africans do prefer democracy to any other form of government. We ask them about elections, that sometimes elections bring too much problems, so maybe we shouldn't do elections. They say no. As many as 8 in 10 Africans consistently say they want to have multi-party elections.
In many countries, civil rights organizations are pushing for institutional changes in regards to autocratic policies. But Dr. Robtel Niajai-Pailey, a Liberian senior researcher at Oxford University, says that more is needed to reach this development goal and provide for effective, accountable, and inclusive institutions.
I think there are really fantastic policies on the continent of Africa. I think we have perfected our policies. The problem is the implementation. And this is not only something I've experienced in Liberia, but I've spoken to colleagues across the continent. And this is what they keep talking about. Unless there's a political will and a demand for that political will to be met in terms of the implementation of really fantastic laws and regulations, then we'll still be talking about SDG 16.
So what can be done to achieve this goal effectively and in a timely manner? The usual international reaction to autocratic governments in Africa has been to impose sanctions and limit aid, a good example being Zimbabwe. But Robtel says that not enough is being done to ensure that governments become more accountable to their citizens.
I think a lot of development cooperation institutions, they will fund governments or they will fund institutions that they know are not accountable to their citizens. And I think that admission is actually really damning for European Development Cooperation institutions.
On the other side of the coin, some people see an upside to autocratic regimes. Many use President Paul Kagame's success in Rwanda as a positive example. Rwanda has made big strides in economic, social, and environmental development since Kagame took office in 2000. But Professor Gimia Boadi is quick to state that this is not always the case.
We should not forget that from 1960 to at least 1990, and a little bit beyond, autocratic rule was the norm in Africa. Now the question is, why is it that 30 years of authoritarian rule and autocratic rule in Africa did not produce the kind of developments we are seeing in Rwanda? And so if we cannot make a rule out of a 30-year experience for 52 or now 54 countries, why should we be making a rule out of the experience of one country out of 54?
Meanwhile, international institutions, including the EU, seem to be lost as to how to deal with autocratic regimes, especially since some African leaders find themselves in control of newfound wealth from natural resources and are able to attract more development aid from partners such as China.
Wanjiku Mwaura reporting.
Your say.
And now you speak to us about some of the stories we've been covering over the past week. Fred Mavunyi and Eunice Wanjiru have been sifting through your comments. Your say is up next.
Your say.
We kick off this episode of Yose at The Hague, where the ICC has sentenced a member of the Ansar Din Islamist group to 9 years in prison for destroying historical buildings in Timbuktu, Mali, marking the first time the court has ruled on a crime related to cultural artifacts.
That's right, Eunice. The chamber now must reform that Al-Mahdi was guilty of the crime of attacking protected sites, and many people reacted to the ruling on our Facebook page.
Oh yes, Prince Bunyore questions the sentence handed to Al-Mahdi, and he asked the fate of the people who gave weapons to armed groups in Libya that was already under an arms embargo and changed the regime to create chaos.
And someone called Brunera Capitani compliments Prince, saying that hopefully the court will do the same for those who bomb and kill innocent people.
Just remember, these comments are from you, the listener, but have been edited to conform to DW editorial standards.
From rule of law to financial challenges, we reported this week about how some people in Nigeria have failed to cope up with economic hardships and decided to commit suicide.
Robert again commented on this topic and said, if the reason is financial difficulties, then all people around the world would be committing suicide. The problems could have been far worse than money issues.
Mm-hmm. And Shedrack Chima joined the conversation and said, yes, it's President Buhari to blame. He's killing us with bad policies and incompetent ministers.
Quite sad over there. But still in Nigeria, it's been almost half a century since the plight of the Igbo people of Biafra was highlighted during the Nigerian Civil War. But a movement to resurrect the Republic of Biafra is gaining momentum. So what are people saying about that, Fred?
Eunice, someone called Manzi Idzu first thanked DW for its extensive coverage. And he went on to say that Biafra have suffered a lot of humiliation over the past decade.
Well, finally, Isaac Ehosa Godwin joined the conversation and said that he feels for the Biafra because since independence, they have hardly been given the opportunity to rule Nigeria, but also separating isn't the best option for now. They can still dialogue with the current administration to seek a possible solution.
Trains of Yolanda by Congolese musician Kanda Bongoman, and your hosts on this week's Yose were Fred Muvunyi and Eunice Wanjiru. And if you'd like to comment on the stories we are covering, do send us an email to feedback.africa@dw.com or an SMS to country code 49160957 59510 or a letter to AfricaLink DW 53110 Bonn, Germany. You can also reach us on social media. Our main stories of the day. UN mission on the Democratic Republic of Congo, MONUSCO, is facing complaints in the eastern province about the presence of rebel fighters from South Sudan. We've also been hearing why private security firms in Cameroon are having to shed jobs and what is being done to help women in Ghana who are accused of witchcraft. Remember, you can also check out for more news on our website, dw.com/Africa. There, we come to the end of this week here on Africa Link. I shall be here on Monday, so do join me if you can. That's it for today. From me, Jane Ayeka-Kumet, and the rest of the Africa Link production team, thank you for listening. And as I always say, life is beautiful, so look at it from a positive side and enjoy your weekend.